Tonight it is my great pleasure to welcome to Many Rivers Books and Tea for the first time, Maitreyi Nolan, transpersonal psychologist and author of this book, Feminine Mysticism. And there are some other volumes we'll talk about over here. She has long been associated with Ananda Seva in Santa Rosa here. And she is going to be joined by, I believe, the gentleman with the guitar, who I assume is her husband, Liam. And we look forward to this mix of words and music. And with that, please join me in welcoming Maitreyi Nolan to Many Rivers Books and Tea.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I think for this evening we'll do partly reading and partly experiential. And I'd like to begin sharing a little bit about my own journey and how this book came about, Feminine Mysticism, Secrets of the Empowered Feminine. Can you all hear me? Am I speaking loud enough? Okay. So I think I'll talk a little bit about my background and how this evolved and the source of this material. And then maybe we'll go into something a little bit experiential with a few songs. I've got some beautiful sacred music and a little guided meditation. And then I'll do some readings, and then we have time for question and answer. How's that sound? So, how this book came to be is by the grace of my guru, Sri Sri Anandamurti, who I refer to as Baba, one of the Babas. I was with him for many years. I started my meditation journey, I think, in 1969, long time ago. And at that time, I began to have some mystical experiences of hearing the guidance of Guru and receiving teachings. And I first met Guru within in that way. After I started meditating, I had this experience of meeting my Guru within and receiving teachings. And then I eventually, after some deep, profound mystical experiences, I was guided that I should go to India and be with him physically. I had a physical Guru too, as a person. So I went to India and I had the amazing experience of first having this internal experience, then meeting the physical manifestation of the Guru and feeling the unity of those two. And I spent a year there with my Guru in India, and then came back and continued on in my internal journey, and received a lot of guidance and teachings and personal assistance on my spiritual journey. And then as the years went on, you know, walking the path. And then in 1990, my guru left his body. And just the 6 months before he left his body, I began to get a lot of internal guidance that I was to share the teachings that I had been receiving. I was to allow them to come through for other people. And so I began learning how to bring those teachings through. After he left his body, I was guided to that it was time to, now that the teachings had been for me, but now I needed to bring them through to help other people as well. And so I began learning how to do that and to let that voice of Guru come through. And a lot of oral discourses over the years, there's a lot of material that has happened. Out of that, those discourses, some folks collected those discourses that were related to women and compiled them. And of course, they're in the oral tradition, so this is not written, this is spoken. And then first, a woman, Saraswati Ma, who lives in Finland, who's a devotee of Baba, took and translated into Finnish, because I was dragging my feet on it. And it actually, the reviews on the back are from well-known people in Finland, because it came out in Finnish first. And It was well received in Finland, and I just have brought it out in English. And so now it's these teachings from Baba on women, and not only on women, it begins with some very powerful sessions that came on matriarchy. And I remember when they came, it's one of the few times I really had visuals of the planet as it was then, and the continents as they were there, and where these city-states and things were. It was very interesting. And so this material on the development of matriarchy is there. And then it moves into a lot of aspects of women's lives and practical things about women's lives, women's sexuality, a lot of things about women's roles, and then moves into what's happening on the planet today and what the type discourses that we're on, Gaia, and what's going on in the planet, what's going on in our social structures in today's world, and how the feminine relates to that. And so I'm going to do some excerpts of readings on some of those different sections after we have a little music and a little guided meditation.
Okay.
That's good.
We'll start out with a little sacred music, a little feminine touch.
So we'll do...
Do you mind if I take off my shoes and put my feet up?
We'll do a couple of little songs, and feel free to sing. They're very simple. Nice way to bring the spirit. This song I wrote a long time ago. All that I have, I offer at the altar of love, the sweet ceremony. Threshing. All that I have, I offer at the altar of love. All that I have, I offer at the altar. Sweet surrender, sweet do one more. Mother, Divine Mother. The words are, Ancient Mother, I hear your calling. Ancient Mother, I hear your song. Ancient Mother, I hear your laughter. Ancient Mother, I taste your tears.
Just get comfortable in your chair. Take a moment to become aware of your body and allow yourself to scan down from your head, feeling awareness in your head and then your neck, awareness in your shoulders, in your chest, in your arms, down to your hands, through your body, down your torso, and down your legs, through your lower legs, into your feet, into your connection to the earth and to the ground. Feel the earth beneath your feet. Feel the power and the strength and the solidity of the earth, of the Divine Mother of Gaia, holding you, supporting you, caring for you, making you solid, firm, steady. And allow that strength and energy of the earth to come up through your feet, through your legs, and up into your body, feeling the strength and power of the earth, the nurturance and care coming up into you, coming up through your torso, through your arms, and into your head, and allow that energy to come all the way up to the top of your head and your crown chakra. And there let it open up and allow the flow of light from the crown chakra of infinite love, of spirit, of infinite consciousness, being, grace, flow into you. And let these two forces blend within you. The forces of spirit and of earth, of nurturance, care, and the forces of light and love flow within you, blending in a complete harmony of being. And allow yourself to breathe the air gently and fully, and letting go as you exhale, deeper and deeper into that infinite sea of love, into the nurturance of the divine. The blending and harmony of spirit and earth. Harmonizing into a single unitary wholeness. All things one harmony. Allow the light and the loving kindness to flow through you, permeating your body and mind, and bringing you to a feeling of unconditioned love, a feeling of well-being, a connection to your own heart, your own core. And in that sense, the masculine and the feminine within you, find those two elements, those two forces in your own being, the divine feminine within you and the divine masculine within you. See how they play together, what qualities each has. Each expresses through you, and how they both move together within you. In the flow of love, nurturing, strength and harmony. Taking a moment in silence to just breathe. Yourself in the balance of opposites. Lokah samastah sukhino bhavantu, lokah samastah sukhino bhavantu, lokah samastah sukhino bhavantu. Om shanti, shanti, shanti. May all beings in all worlds attain happiness. And may all we do be to that end. There's a beautiful drawing done by a woman in Finland. She did the drawings in here, Saraswati Ma. And under it there's a quote. There is a longing in every woman to discover oneself as a goddess, to feel the strength and power of the feminine and understand what kind of power and strength her feminine side gives her. And I've had a request to give people page numbers so that they can read along if they like, and we're on page 67. And I'm going to go halfway down the page. I'm going to start. And in ancient times, the ideal was that of the mother who gave birth to life and fed the entire world from her breast. She was the mother of life, passionate, sacred, and earthy. She was rich with life, fertile, filled with abundance. She was the goddess who nurtures the world. It is in this vital feminine that the spiritual power of women is truly alive. A woman is the mother of life, and her body is the temple of life. This is the ancient teaching. From her all life has come, and by her love, by her infinite grace, by her compassion, her children are fed. They grow and thrive upon her breast. So you see, the power of women is thus in the womanhood and in their bodies, not in a disembodied virgin who has never felt or experienced her womanhood. In the ancient schools where Tantra, and this is not the sexual schools of Tantra, this is the traditional Tantra. In the ancient schools of Tantra taught and practiced for the transformation of consciousness, the transformation of self from identification with the little to the great, the divine. The women in mystery schools learned to see themselves as extensions of the mother, of the great goddess from whom all life springs. They learned to appreciate their womanhood and to make that womanhood the source of their spiritual potential and knowledge. In the path of Tantra, all that is limited, confined, immature, becomes transmuted. That which is small identifies with the great, and all that is hidden becomes revealed. There can be no hidden part, no secrets, and no shame for one's femininity. It is a greatness. Your very own womanhood is your greatness, and from this you may become as the great mother of all life, one whose divine compassion feeds the earth, and who gives birth to divinity in love. So you see, in the path of Tantra, the rights of a woman to her own body are foremost. She cannot think she is merely disembodied. She must recognize her womanly expression and become mature in that expression. Transmuting the physical into the psycho-spiritual, so that the girl becomes the mother and then becomes the goddess herself. The goddess is the wife of Lord Shiva, the complement of Purusha, who is cosmic consciousness. I'm tempted to read a little bit more. I think I'm going to move on, though, to page 253 and move from that sort of mystical part of what's in this book to the social statements. And this gives a little about the relationships of in our world today. Society now places the greatest emphasis upon the individual, upon the development of productivity, and on the consumption of material goods rather than upon interpersonal relationships or the establishment of a network of interpersonal support, such as extended family, community, and the whole web of interpersonal relationships. Those webs of relationships that are the strength of women, which are created and maintained primarily by women, have broken down in order to be replaced by corporate values, or more correctly speaking, by the values of economic productivity and individual career pursuit. The emphasis of the society is on individualism and on individual success. It is an emphasis on productivity and the rewards of productivity and consumption. When the emphasis shifts to interpersonal relationships, to creating and maintaining the webs of interconnectedness and the support system, you will see the whole society develop into a web of relationships that support all. Those who are strong, those who are weak, those who are young, those who are old alike will have a place to belong. Now, in the United States, a classroom must have at least 35 children because there is no money. The money is for war machines. There is no money for teaching children. The emphasis is all wrong. The network of support is very strained, very thin. Just like the mother in the home, very strained to keep up with everything. The networks are strained to the breaking point. Even now, many families do not have two parents in the home. There is a mother on her own with her child, trying to hold a job to keep money coming, so that she can feed the child and survive. Observing such situations, many women think, I would rather sacrifice my heart and my love. I would rather bear the pain of not having the fulfillment of a child and that love, because at least I won't have to suffer like that. At the present time, this society is at a point of total social chaos. It will soon reach a breaking point because of the erosion of fundamental human values and the crumbling of the social structure of the web of interconnectedness. can a society survive with this total emphasis on individualism and individual success? What happens to a poor person who becomes sick, or old, or a child who has needs? What of the emotional needs of people? These things are not to be attended to. Even in the medical needs of people, even the medical needs of people are not properly provided for, although there is ample wealth in the society. The society has lost equilibrium. To bring balance back into society will require the rise of women, not only into positions of authority, but into their own personal power as human beings. They must acknowledge their own fundamental human needs. It is women who must do this, who must say, I can lead. I can be both a leader and a mother. I can be involved in the family, and I can be a source of strength and power in society. Women must say, I will not tolerate this compromising of love relationships any longer. One person speaking out cannot do much, but a hundred thousand voices, a million, will change the world. And the world will change, it is a sure guarantee. The pendulum swings one way and naturally creates unstoppable momentum for a swing in the opposite direction. Its return is guaranteed the moment it reaches its apex. Women must tie the world together again and rebuild a structure of love and relationships, bonds and associations in the society of today. This is primarily the work of women. They must be leaders, they must be powerful, and they must say, power is not being the head honcho in a corporation and working 50 hours a day or 15 hours a day, sacrificing all personal relationships. It is not that they are unable to do work. Perhaps they can, yet they must recognize what real power is and act accordingly. How is corporate power more valuable than raising a child? It is only because it earns more money. If you have more money, you have more buying power, and this is more valuable only because the emphasis in the society is to consume and to have purchasing power, no more. And to page 259 at the bottom. The oppression of women is a very significant factor in society today, and has been for several thousands of years. Women have been suppressed in all areas of expression. In the sphere of religion and religious rules, women have been suppressed as priestesses and religious leaders, or even as participants. This suppression has even reached to the most mundane aspects of life. For example, there is suppression of their ability to earn money, to inherit property, or even to earn respect for their abilities. Women as a group have been suppressed worldwide, but that is beginning to change. In the matriarchal societies, the mother, the woman who had the most offspring, who was the hardiest, was considered the greatest person in the clan. She was a strong person who could foster the clan's development. Her protection and mothering was considered the most important factor in life. The nurturing quality of the mother was considered the ideal personal quality in the society. In those times, many men tried to suppress their masculine side, wanting to be like mothers because of their admiration for such group leaders. This tendency has always existed, and many men still feel this way today, because a son cannot help but love his mother. During the ensuing patriarchal era, many have become very aggressive And the women who are now admired are those who can compete with the masculine assertion. Those who do the traditional feminine duties of nurturing and bearing offspring, taking care of family and loved ones, of serving others as nurses, are not respected. Those who care for the sick and the lame are given no status, nor are they properly paid because it is considered lowly to take care of people. Yet if you have a good mind for math and computers, it is considered to be of high status. We see that women have not gained any liberation through this approach. Although they have gained some degree of independence from the economic oppression of men, they have not yet gained their place as a whole. In fact, their place has been further eroded because of the feminine side is not at all respected. Furthermore, the lack of respect for the feminine aspects of human manifestation has led to the degraded and degenerate condition of the whole society of the world today. It has led to excessive aggression, war, political dominance, and economic greed. Because the feminine aspect has not been brought forward, the care, love, and nurturance of living beings is considered a secondary activity. When the welfare of living beings is not important, what happens? Many human beings are suffering in mass numbers without care. Those who are the natural caretakers, who would nurture and care for others, are not given proper respect. They are not supported in these activities. Those who would push forward aggressively for economic control, for corporate power, for political dominance, these people are given free rein. Because of this lopsided approach, a terrible imbalance has been created in the human society. When women suppress their feminine nature and learn to assert only their masculine qualities, this only furthers the difficulty. It is only when the feminine face of God is once again revealed and these things can improve. It is only when feminine qualities are once again integrated into the society with momentum that healing can take place. The suppression of the feminine and the great disturbances we are experiencing in human society today are not unrelated. When human beings begin to place greater value on caring for each other, on helping each other, on resolving the problems that cause suffering and pain to living beings, when these things become valued, when the nurturance of living beings is the foremost concern, only then will the world be transformed. This will only come about when the feminine aspect returns to prominence. Without such changes, the world will simply continue to suffer as it does now. Therefore, this suppression of feminine qualities and disrespect for the feminine aspect of human beings is significant. Both men and women have feminine aspects and masculine aspects. But because they are biologically driven, men will show a tendency to express more self-assertion, more the warrior spirit, and women will tend to express more nurturance of children and clan, love of family, interaction, communication, and caretaking. These are traditional biologically driven feminine traits. Assertion, protection, competition are all traditional biologically driven masculine traits. However, one cannot say that a particular person, being male or female, would have certain predominant traits accordingly. But in general, one can say that more women are of one inclination and more men of another. The suppression of the feminine is a great problem in today's world. No one can say when or exactly how all of this will change. It can be said that when the pain of human life is very, very great, those who can soothe, comfort, and care for the needs of others are surely more in need than those who can build empires. When the pain is less, the building of empires and dreams perhaps becomes the dominant need. War is a blight upon the face of humankind. It is a dark stain in the history of human life. It can be eradicated only through the enhancement of the feminine aspects of human nature. What mother wants to see her son killed or killing others? What mother wants to send her son to war? If all the mothers of sons were asked to run the world, perhaps we would find a different place. And I'm going to read a little bit from I think I'm going to skip over to page 309, The Feminine Rising. This time in human history is a very special time when many changes are occurring. With change, there is always danger as well as opportunity. And the dangers of this area are that self-centeredness, self-interest, and aggressiveness may overcome the more caring features of human nature. It is a time when unification of people is called for. One in which people are moving towards a one-world government, a one-world family, when human beings are in a process of synthesis. At one time, there were tribes and clans. Then there were city-states. Then from the city-states, societal structures became feudal, and then onto kingdoms. From that stage, bigger kingdoms evolved that drew together into states and nations. Now is a time for the various countries to join together to become a one-world society. This requires overall unity of all nations, not the standalone efforts of one particular nation. This requires negotiation, integration, and synthesis, not the aggressive conquering of others. It is time to put aside the weapons of war and to emphasize working together. In this period of human history, the qualities associated with the feminine become of utmost importance. Because the feminine is associated with qualities of nurturing and loving kindness. The mother wants always only to protect and nurture her children. As the mother, she is the giver of the milk of life to the young children. At this time, these qualities of nurturing and wanting to protect all living beings must be fostered. Caring for the welfare of all beings and nurturance must come to the fore. This requires a rise in feminine qualities of the feminine principle within the collective consciousness. This has been developing for the past 20 years. During this time, we have seen great changes in the participation of women in all sectors of society. Now it is time for the leadership of women to rise to the forefront in all spheres of human endeavor. This is not a time to return to the matriarchal dominance. Men have much to offer. Instead, it is a time for synthesis, for balance. Society needs to fly like a bird with two wings. Society at this time must have equal strength in both masculine and feminine aspects. In this way, dynamism and intellectual faculty combines with passion, care for all beings, and loving kindness. These two aspects of the human psyche must balance with one another, else self-centered aggression becomes dominant in human society. Both kindness and mental acuity are needed to solve the problems of today's world. Human beings must learn to balance their relationship to the natural environment, to become attuned to it, to honor the Mother Earth, and at the same time find their wholeness and a place for themselves without destroying other living beings. Each one must find himself or herself as a part of an integrated whole of life. The force of evolution keeps driving living beings forward and onward. Currently, that force of evolution is bringing living beings more and more towards the cherished goal of integration and balance. This evolutionary process includes development and modifications in existing species. Humans are undergoing modifications that begin as mental or psychic changes and become physiological. First, the behaviors and customs change in society. This evolutionary process is causing great upheaval, not only in human society, but on the entire planet, in the body of Mother Earth. These upheavals cannot be stopped because they originate in the evolutionary pull of the divine upon consciousness of living beings. This pull brings change, and it brings situations to a point where they can no longer exist without adaptation. This is how the cosmic pull upon existence acts in this material universe. You are all experiencing this cosmic pull. It is pulling you towards the infinite, towards Parampurusha. You are all undergoing transformations due to this pull. Always the divine is with each and every one. As the mind grows in magnitude, this presence becomes increasingly perceptible. It is necessary and natural that human society moves forward, so do not fear the future. Look always upon the bright side and realize that changes always bring some degree of chaos, but these changes are for the better. The role of the feminine is very important, as it naturally continues to be strengthened and brought to the forefront. The feminine is on the rise, bringing gifts of nurturing, caring for the needs of all, living peacefully, and helping the species to survive.
Bravo.
So that's any questions, any thoughts? Anyone want to share anything?
I have a thought.
Yeah.
You know, as I listen to this, it occurs to me that those who think about the economic pools on a macro level, are the people that you're talking to here. Those who, you know, who have backgrounds in economics, in social psychology and mass communication, that have studied these driving forces that influence and persuade people on mass level in their ways of thinking. And you brought a language to synthesize the feminine and the very ugly neo-conservative form of patriarchy that we've been suffering under these last 20 years. What you've just read here has beautifully expressed the thinking that is needed.
I want to point out that actually these are not my words. I mean, I've spoken them, but
right.
But that I've received
his
them.
His words,
from,
you know?
Yeah.
And I think that and that those who review these kinds of macroeconomic books, should know about these books.
Thank you. I think there's a lot of ideas in here that are deep. Anyone else? Anything else?
It's so relevant to what's happening today. I'm just curious how long ago was this book conceived, or these words that came to you?
Well, as I said, these are discourses that Baba gave. You know, I do this, it's kind of channeled. I don't like to use the word channeling, so I use intuitive flow, you know. I call them Baba talks.
Subsequent to his passing.
Yeah, after he left his body in 1990. So they've been really accumulating since 1990. And so just a lot of them, you know, some people put together for me and they became a book. There are other aspects that I haven't read, but
this has all been accumulated since his passing.
Right. This has all come in this channel.
Here,
no, it's come in this channel
in
type of form since then. Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you have any? I have a question. Did you have any feeling about what's going on with the Muslim oppressive nature over the women by the men? In terms of did you say anything in the book about that?
I think there might be something at some point in here. I vaguely remember some talks at one point.
Okay. Yeah,
addressed
that. I was wondering, because that seems like the most oppressive to women in this day and age. You know,
actually, I think there is a discourse where somebody asked a question about female mutilation.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So I think that is addressed in here. And some of the practices that are done in some of the Muslim countries. Yeah, it's pretty terrible. Yeah.
Even though I'm afraid of going off on a tangent, one of my most treasured academic mentors was a Muslim man, and he had been the dean of the School of Economics at Sonoma State. And I've come to see through talking with him that the real danger is fundamentalism from whatever religion, not just Islam.
Exactly.
That true Islam seeks to respect and raise up the woman and respects the and I'm not Muslim myself, but respects the maintenance of the family.
And the whole community.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And not,
yeah.
And then, you know, you have some groups like Taliban or whatever that really denigrate women terribly, but that's not.
And the groups
but
that
that's
denigrate.
The fundamentalist aspect, it's not the Islam.
And in whatever culture, the groups that denigrate the women are generally, that are so aggressive, are generally the same groups that denigrate women. You know, that kind of goes together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it tends to go together. So what Baba's bringing out in here is the importance right now at this critical juncture in our evolution. That and that it's happening naturally. This is sort of a cosmic process. That these feminine traits, feminine qualities within everyone, and particularly the rise of women embodying these aspects, are coming more and more to the front. And he talks in here about how the feminist movement actually, although it brought economic power for women and established some, you know, it did good things for women. It in a way missed the mark because it wasn't bringing women into being women as, you know, mothers and as nurturers and appreciating and supporting women in being, you know, housewives and being taking care of children and doing cottage industry instead of having to go and having, you know, time off when they have their cycle. And, you know, I mean, instead it was women trying to be men, you know.
Yeah, not
and
guys.
Yeah, which is, that didn't solve the problem, you know. Yeah.
You know, I have a question. You know, I've never had children. I've never married. And so, you know, this whole idea of the nurturing female, I mean, I get it. I know that women procreate, women have children. But to me, it's not... It's not something I don't base my femininity on the fact that I'm a nurturer or that I have children or you know, we live in a different society. I mean, we're no longer in an agricultural society, we live in an industrial society. So I mean I think that women maybe are more, maybe I'm generalizing, but I think they're more empathetic,
mm-hmm.
more of an empath in many ways than men. Maybe like you said, there's a biological biological cellular memory in us that, you know, men tend to be more aggressive or women tend to be more passive. And
we all have these qualities within
us. Yeah, I understand that. But, you know, the thing is, yeah, I mean, listening to what you were saying tonight, it is interesting that that we're so alike in many ways, have a lot of similarities, but we're still so so separate. I mean, you can just go on and on. I read the book, and it's really fascinating about, you know, the fall of the goddess and, you know, how women were stripped of all their power. And, you know what I mean? It's like a really, I don't know, I'm just losing my
yeah.
hand off. But anyway, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I think there's like a fear of that, just that vulnerability. Like they almost had to accept it.
Yeah.
Confront things rather than just to, you know, try to,
I think it is
yeah.
all based on economics and war,
mm-hmm.
and you can't have passionate. I mean, but women did at one time had a huge amount of power. The priestesses, they had two
yeah.
goddesses. I mean, they had incredible power. But you also talk about the how it was corrupt too. There was an era where.
And the patriarchal society was just
as corrupt as the patriarchal society.
Exactly. Everything
yeah.
reaches its sort of apex, and
yeah.
then it kind of gets into
yeah.
degeneration, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
in this part about matriarchy points out how it degenerated
yeah.
and became oppressive, and then how patriarchy rose as a kind of
mm-hmm.
revolution out of that, and that it was really good, you know? And it there were like really good qualities to it, but then it became oppressive. And now we're in the end of the patriarchal era, and the patriarchal values have placed our world right now in a situation that it's not working, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And how now there's a need for, again, the rise of the feminine, but what Bob is saying is not to swing back into matriarchy, but to swing into a kind of a balanced synthesis so that we have a kind of a balance of these two forces in our collective psyche, if you will.
Is there any of this book that comes directly from you rather than being intuitively channeled from Baba?
Actually, no. These are a series of discourses of Baba.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and some of it, frankly, some of it is all new ideas to me. Some of the stuff that goes into the sexuality and the relationships of men and women is stuff that was, you've read the full book, so you have the idea. It's stuff that actually was new for me, you know, so some of it was like a really interesting ideas, you know, that
yeah.
I relate to it, but it was new for me, you know. So this is not my voice. But this is Baba's voice through me. But you know, we're one with the divine, and so that, yeah. So, any other questions? Any other thoughts? Okay. Let's do a little closing.
So delightful. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been really nice to be here with all of you and to do this. So thank you for having me here.
You're welcome.
You're wonderful. And yeah, they have the books over there if anybody wants to get one. And there's also a book on Yama and Niyama, which is another one of these intuitive books from Baba that really goes into the ethical principles of yoga, the foundation of action in the world, the yoga, the eight limbs of Ashtanga Yoga support through Yama and Niyama. And I think a lot of people find that it's a little book, but they find what's talked about in there very meaningful in your own personal journey in life. It really goes into the understanding, the deep understanding of Yama and Niyama as a basic, fundamental inner journey that we act in the world with. So, and there's some, and my husband has a humorous book. I don't know if you got a chance to look at that, but it's pretty funny. It's a spiritual humor. God is cool. And
it says Will. I go by Liam, but I'm also.
And let's see. Yeah, and there's little cards there about the different programs. We have meditations at our place on Sundays, and first and third Tuesday I do the Baba flow. I give talks of these types of discourses first and third Tuesdays at 7:30 at our center in Ananda.
So that'll be this coming Tuesday.
Yeah, this coming Tuesday there's a talk, a Baba talk. So
it's the second, third Tuesday?
Yeah, the third Tuesday. Isn't this the third Tuesday coming
up? Yeah,
the 15th. The 15th. Okay, so it's the 15th, which is this coming Tuesday, is the next talk.
What time is it?
7:30, and at Ananda Seva on Bennett Valley Road in Santa Rosa. It's on the back of the card. So, okay, let's just take a moment to breathe and to just take in all of this and the joy of the interconnectedness of all of us here and the community that we're in here and in our communities here in Sonoma County and the networks and families and the way that we're all connected. There's a lot of support for spirit in this place. Thank you. And did you have an announcement or?
We have a closing announcement we'd like to make.
Thank you on behalf of Many Rivers so much.
Thank you.
And I just want to let you know we have a donation bowl right there on the counter, and we hope you will contribute to it. We split the donations with our guests to further their work and retain half to help support these sorts of events in future. So so that bowl is over there, and as Maitreya has already mentioned, there are books here on this table as well as information cards that you can take with you, and we encourage you to check those out. Take a look at them, and I dare say if you want to have a book signed, I'm guessing that will not be a problem, not usually anyway. Thank you all for coming tonight, and we appreciate your joining us at Many Rivers and hope to see you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.